But when I think of Jesus, I know that he is the perfect Lamb of God, the Bible says. I know that he is perfect in every way and without sin. That means he didn't do anything wrong. Yet the horrific death that he suffered, that the sacrifice that he made. I'm not talking about just the cross. But I'm talking about what led up to the cross. The whipping, the beating, the mocking, and the torture. And he did it all for me. He went through such a horrific moment leading up to the cross so that he could understand me. He did it all because he did not want anyone to say that Jesus did not understand pain. He didn't want anyone to say that Jesus didn't understand torture. He didn't want anybody to think that Jesus didn't understand suffering. And what amazes me is that as he's nailed to the cross and he's hanging there, that he spoke 7 times. At 7 different moments, he spoke when he hung on that cross. I don't know how he could do that, but he did. And what stands out for me are those specific words on the cross. In fact, do you know what he said? You probably do. But what stands out for me is, he said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The parting spirit of our Lord shines through. If Christ called out forgiveness to those who so horribly killed him, tortured him, insulted him, do you not think that Christ can forgive you just as much? See, when I hear of Jesus calling out those words in agony, hanging from a cross, it is unthinkable that I cannot find in my heart the same will to forgive those who wrong me. In fact, 1 John 4:19, I invite you to turn there. To 1 John 4:19, as I want you to see this. 1 John 4:19. "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." We love because he first loved us. Are you just as forgiving as Christ is? Maybe today you're having difficulty, maybe even worshiping God, because you're so embittered with rage from lack of forgiveness. Settle that today. Say, "Lord, take my bitterness, take my rage, transform me into a forgiving person." That's why Easter. Luke 23:34 says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." What a passionate plea from our Lord on his lips as he's dying are not words of revenge, not bitter hatred, but compassion to the very ones who crucified him, the very ones who did this to him. But that first Easter weekend doesn't end there, because if it did, we may as well just all go home. Why Easter? You deserve punishment, because all of us, in fact, no one is perfect. All of us have blown it and will blow it. But Jesus said, "I love you so much. I created you. I will come to earth. I will take your punishment for you. I will do this for you because I love you." I like what Max Lucado said. He said it well when he said, "Nails didn't hold God to a cross. Love did." Did you like that? Doesn't that make sense? When we hear those stories of people who save another person, whether it be a child saving their father from drowning or a man saving a lady from a purse snatcher, we call them heroes. We say, "What an amazing person. Well, on that first Easter weekend at Calvary, a cross stood because Jesus Christ heroically paid the price for you. But sometimes somehow we forget that. Maybe sometimes we neglect that. We're kind of like this elderly couple stopped at a roadside restaurant for lunch. Any of you have ever stopped at a roadside restaurant for lunch? Okay. I noticed some of you were going like this. Don't put your hand up. He said elderly couple. After finishing their meal, they left the restaurant and they resumed their trip and they were leaving. And the elderly woman, the lady, she unknowingly left her glasses on the table and she didn't miss them until after they'd been driving about 20 minutes. 20 minutes. And by then, to add to the aggravation, they had to travel quite a distance before he could actually find a place to kind of, you know, turn around in order to return back to the restaurant to retrieve her glasses. And all the way back, her hubby, I mean, he was mad. I mean, he became the classic grouch. I know most of you guys don't get this way, but he did. And he started fussing and complaining, and he started talking about how could you leave your glasses back there? I mean, you're so forgetful. And he became more agitated as they kept driving and as he kept talking, and he just wouldn't let up. And to her relief, they finally arrived at the restaurant, and as the woman got out of the car and hurried him inside to retrieve her glasses, her husband yelled back to her, "Well, you know, while you're in there, you might as well get my hat." And the credit card. See, I think sometimes we forget. We remember what Christ did around Easter. But then we forget what he did for us so often through the year. We're better at, I tell you what I think we're better at. We're better at remembering who hurt us. We're better at remembering our financial situation. We're better at remembering our family fight on Easter morning than we are remembering the forgiveness, the love that Jesus taught us to practice with his very own life. If you don't think that God loves you, take a long look at the cross. Because there will never be anyone in history who loves you more than God does. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I mean, you look at creation and you see God's hand, but you look at the cross and you see God's heart. This is why Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. This is why Easter. Why Easter? Because of love and forgiveness. Because of sacrificial obedience. As the babe lay in Bethlehem, God had already mapped out his life. Jesus kept before him the Father's will. He didn't want to waver in his obedience to the Father, even though that obedience would lead to the greatest sacrifice. Anywhere worth going carries a price tag with it. Do you know that? And Jesus chose to endure torture, mocking, humiliation, and excruciating death, even though he could have at any moment said, "No, let's stop." The leader of humankind deciding that gaining the world was worth the pain of the cross. And so he stayed so committed to his mission that he allowed weaker men to seize him. He allowed himself to be arrested, and he allowed them to crucify him. Jesus laid down his life. How about you this morning? Have you given everything up to him? See, that's why Easter. This is the time when we realize afresh and anew that we can trust in Jesus Christ. We can't trust in people because people so often fail us. They hurt us. They even say things sometimes that are very hurtful. Christ was so obedient to what God wanted for his life that he did not let anything stand in his way. There was no doubt, there was no hurt, there was no abuse, there was no insult, there was no pain that kept Jesus away from being obedient to the Father. Nothing. But what's keeping you from doing what God requires from you? What what hurt, what pain, what doubt, what is keeping you from being so obedient to God? See, Easter demonstrates the sacrificial obedience of our Lord. Jesus gave it all to gain it all. Have you given your all to Him in order to gain it all from Him? See, if you flip over to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And I got to flip there, so bear with me. Matthew 26, verse 50. I'm going to start at 52. Peter's upset, and so he strikes off a soldier's ear, and Jesus says, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword." And it, verse 53, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the Scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" Now, you see, Jesus didn't let anything or anyone, He didn't let any one thing get in the way of the Father's will. He knew He needed to do this. There are times in our life where we know there's something we need to do. But then all of a sudden we let someone or something get in the way of what we're supposed to really be doing. You see, I think for these disciples, I think they were kind of confused, wondering what's going to happen. Jesus talked about He's going to die. What's going to take place next? What's going to happen? It's like a woman in a nursing home. She was given a party to celebrate her 100th birthday. Isn't that great? 100 years old? People gathered from all over. Wonderful celebration, even for the city, because the city was as well celebrating 100 years. So a reporter gathers, you know, and the TV crews, everybody's there, and people spoke to this journalist about how sharp this lady's mind was, how keenly alert she was. She was completely caught up in all the hype, all the excitement of the day, and then the reporter sat down to interview her. And he began with a question to that high-spirited, 100-year-old old lady. I mean, she was wonderful. And he said, this is why we started. He said, "Do you have any children?" And she said, "Not yet." See, and here, it was like they were waiting and anticipating. I mean, Jesus was going through this horror, and they were like, "What? This isn't right. This can't happen." And God says, "Not yet. Hold off. But you wait. He's going to rise again. He's going to rise again." They can try and bury Him in a tomb. They can put a stone in front of it. But He will arise again. "Not yet. You wait." That's why Easter. See why Easter? Because of love and forgiveness, because of sacrificial obedience, and because He provided victory. Amen? I mean, you think of it. The disciples lost their teacher. They lost their Lord. The Jewish leaders had quieted their opposition. The common people had lost their hope of a revolution against Rome. Even Satan himself thought he finally stopped this divine leader and forced him to abort his mission. Before the cross, Jesus spent those last moments with His disciples, explaining that He would die, and they'd become again, but back to life. They agreed, "Oh, yeah, as they ate the bread and drank, "Yes, you're going to come back. Okay, yeah, great." And I think for a moment, I know because I'm a disciple and I go through these moments, I think they questioned. I think they doubted. I think during those few days after the cross and before the resurrection, I think they probably even thought, "We got took." What a surprise awaited that first Easter morn. really what Christianity is all about. The resurrection. Jesus rose again. He died, but he arose. And he said, I'm going to let you bury me for 3 days, then I'll come back to life to prove that I am what I am. And can you imagine the joy that the disciples felt, the excitement that they felt when they realized that the man that had been crucified 3 days earlier was who he said he was? Turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Wow. That is why Easter. See, Joseph Stowell, he understood this. He said, Jesus tasted death, but hell's party was canceled after only 3 days. I want to close with a final story. Dr. Gordon experienced in a big way the power of Easter morning, and one day he met up with a little boy, tattered and torn blue jeans and dirty t-shirt, kept off to the side and whistling, walking down an alley, swinging an old birdcage. Climbing to the bottom of the cage were little tiny field sparrows and the boy had caught. And so the preacher stopped him and he said, "Say, sonny, what do you have there?" And the boy said, "Well, I got some birds. And being a preacher, he thought, "Well, hey, I got a story here." So he pressed on. He said, "What are you going to do with them?" "Oh, I'll mess around with them. You know, teeth them, something like that. You know, do things like that." "Oh," said the preacher, "what about when you get tired of playing them? Then what?" The little boy thought for a moment, kind of startled, and he said, "Well, I got a couple of cats at home. They like birds. I think I'll just let them have the birds." Dr. Gordon's heart went out. He heard the little birds peeped, peeped, and peeped. And so he saw them at the bottom of the cage. He said, How much do you want for those birds?" "Oh, I don't know. $2? Dr. Gordon said, "Sold! I'll take it." The little boy ran off merrily with $2. Dr. Gordon took those birds. He had to pull them out because they didn't want to come out of the cage. They were so used to it. And can you hear them? You hear the little birds? These are more like ravens. But he pulled those little birds out and he said to the little birds, he said, "Shoo, you're free now. Go." They didn't go too far from the cage, you know, but... And he let them free. I like to add a little part in there. And then all of a sudden, in the alley, two alley cats came. But anyway. But you know, that's how we are. So, Satan has us caged. And God comes along and says, "I let my son free. I let you free. You are now free indeed." Just as that Easter morn was the required victory. I mean, Christ always keeps his promise to you. When Jesus rose from the dead, he gave his followers a powerful hope to end every doubt about his kingdom. And that's why Easter. So that we could be free indeed. Are you free today? Do you feel free? Do you feel like you've woken up and said, "Yes, I understand it now. I get nothing can separate me from the love of God. I get it. I'm free." Maybe you're holding on to the bitterness or to the anger, to the rage or the hurt, and you're saying, "Wait a minute, I put up this cage and I'm blocking myself in and I'm not opening the door. I gotta let God open the door and let me free." Oh, that we could be free. See, this is what Christ desires from you, is to be free. Just like an open cage, so is the tomb open. Just like your life can be free. We're going to open the prayer room. And you're welcome to use the prayer room this morning to become free. I'm going to ask the elders to come and sit up here. You elders, come sit up here. And they're going to be available for you. And if you want to deal with stuff in your life, you can go in that room. You can pray. If you want to just tap one of the elders to come and pray with you, that's fine. But you can be free today. Free of the bitterness, free of the rage, free of the hurt, free of the doubt. You can be free. If you've never understood who Jesus is and what he did on the cross for you, today you can be free indeed. Let's pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you're an onlooker this morning. Maybe you're just one of the crowd. Maybe you've asked, why Easter? There's no other way but Jesus in this life to give us eternal life with him in heaven. This is Easter. Give away your life to Jesus so that you can gain so much more, that resurrection promise. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and play our final hymn. Just softly play it. As they do that, I'm gonna. If you want to go to the prayer room again, I invite you to just come forward and walk right into the prayer room. You can get it from the back entrance too. Maybe you need to go in there and just spend some time with God and deal with your heart and be set free, just like that open tomb. Maybe this morning you need to say, you know, I never understood it before, but I understand now that he is Lord. I mean, if he can do that, if he can open that tomb, rise Jesus from the dead, then he is Lord. There's nothing else that can even come close to that. And he invites you to come and give your pain to him and give your hurt to him and give your financial situation to him and give your sorrow to him and give your grief to him and even give your joy to him. He calls you. And I invite you to come to the prayer room. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and today you would say following words with me. I'm going to pray with you. Yes, Jesus, I accept who Jesus is. I accept who you are, what you've done for me. That's what you want to say today. I invite you to pray this prayer in your heart, because God will hear you. Say, dear God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for my sins so I can be forgiven. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your spirit in my life to direct me. Maybe today you came really forgetting what Easter's all about. You remember the ritual, but you've let other feelings kind of get in the way. You've come with that pain or that hurt or that tension, that bitterness. And you let that get in the way of really worshiping your Lord this Easter. Jesus Christ not only paid the price for our freedom, he has set us free. But so often we put ourselves in that bird cage. We keep ourselves in that cage. Open that cage. Open that cage. Open that cage that you put yourself in and experience the freedom of Christ. Experience him anew today. I'm going to invite you once again to just come and spend time with him in the prayer room. You can sit in your pew, you can come forward, and the elders are up here. Spend time before his throne. I invite you to walk into the prayer room and spend time with the Lord. Pray to him. Easter demonstrates Christ keeps his promise. Talk to him. Talk to him. Let's sing that as our prayer. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in you that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.